This program is not censored. Consider yourself warned.
Hey, everybody, Trevor here, and just wanted to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by nobody. That's right. We're currently not sponsored, so if you want to be our sponsor, send an email to sponsorshiplollipop@gmail.com. Sponsor us, or who knows, we might relapse. Anyway, that email again is sponsorshiplollipop@gmail.com. Drop us a line. You're doing God's work. You really are. And now, here's your podcast.
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother...
Hello, Internet, and welcome to Table Reads, the podcast where we take scripts that have never been filmed and read them so that you might experience the joy of terrible writing that Hollywood has tried to deny you. Your hosts on this tour of unproduced dreck are Sean McBee and me, Trevor Thompson, who have written enough terrible nonsense together and apart that it should keep this show running forever.
Hi, welcome to the second episode of Table Reads with Sean McBee and Trevor Thompson.
Hello.
This week we're going to be reading a short script that we wrote called Aftermath.
Yeah, that's the idea of the show is, you may be saying, but there's already a podcast called Table Reads. And to that we say, shut the fuck up. Stop waving your hands like you're Isaac Hayes from Chef when you do the lay duh voice. And we don't really care. But the point of the podcast is to read, a la the industry term of table reads, when everybody sits down for the first time and goes through, actors and directors and writers all sit down and go through it for the first time.
But we're not trying to really bring life to something that didn't get produced. We are trying, and I hope succeeding, to highlight why some shit does not ever get produced.
Yeah.
Because the shit we're reading on this show is going to typically be terrible.
Yeah.
And so in that vein, we're starting with our own shit.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you really want to put a fine point on it, we would feel a lot better having all these bad scripts that we do, that we wrote in our youth and everything under our belt. If we use that stuff, we make fun, you know, we know what these people are going through. We know what it feels like to try and make something of quality. And so if you're, you know, we're going to take the piss out of these other people's scripts, we got to start with our own, I guess. Yes. So how many do you have in that drawer, by the way, of our stuff? Like,
it's a lot. A lot of short films, a lot of incomplete scripts.
Yeah.
Like the Highlander one that we read last week.
Right. The Immortal Battle Continues.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it. Can we move on from that?
I think that's what we should call this podcast. The Immortal Battle Continues.
The Immortal Battle Against Good Writing. I mean, we are going to read some good things.
None of it will be done by us, though.
Right. We'll read some good things from other people, but again, going to highlight the less good aspects of it. Like, I plan on doing the first draft of Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Which is vastly different. And perhaps the first draft of Star Wars, which is also vastly different.
Yeah.
I like the idea of highlighting the differences between the original draft of something, the original germ of the idea, versus what we got on screen.
People that know it really well. But didn't that first draft of Star Wars, wasn't it all three movies? Like,
No. There were three early drafts that were all vastly different from one another.
Mm-hmm.
Before the fourth draft finally was filmed.
Well, in today's category, the script is one of ours, obviously. It's called Aftermath, and you want to talk about iterations. The script that we're doing now is the second draft. I think there's four total.
I found a third.
You found a third. I'm pretty sure there's a fourth one somewhere, but the script Aftermath... You know,
and that's really a misnomer, because Aftermath started life as our urban folktale short. So however many drafts of that plus this.
Yeah. It originally started as Sean said, a short film called Urban Folktale.
And when he says short film, he means film. We actually filmed it.
Yeah.
Twice.
We actually did record it. Yeah, we actually did two different versions of it. And, you know, it was basically in that vein of Reservoir Dogs, where you have... It's about a robbery, but you never see the robbery. You see the plan go down, and then you see the aftermath of it all.
Skadoom. Actually, it's the opposite. Urban was the lead up. We focused all on the lead up, and we had one mere moment.
Two.
That was afterwards.
Two.
Fine, whatever.
Because there's the boys and Sky are in separate cars. But anyway, the point.
But we just have that little bit that's
at
after.
The end, right? Yeah, where 90% of the movie is the lead up. Yes.
Yeah, they're still driving away. Yes. Aftermath, we flip that shit around.
Yeah. No, it's not a lot of after. I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. Because I haven't read this in a long goddamn time. But the point is,
I'm not sure which one this is.
Urban Folktale, the two characters that we wrote for ourselves to play, Norman and Nikon, we liked them. But for some reason, I think it was me, but I don't know. At some point, we decided to make a completely different movie, completely different tone, a feature length.
But we liked the name, and we liked the character names.
Yeah, we liked Urban Folktale, the name, and we liked Norman and Nikon.
And we actually dropped the whole bank robbery thing.
Yeah.
And then we went back to it later.
And then with Aftermath.
Like, yeah, and then we were like, let's keep everything the same, but we'll give it a different name, and we'll give Norman and Nikon new names.
Yeah.
So they became Darius and Cam.
Darius and Cam.
Because Cam is like a camera, like Nikon.
Interesting. I'm pretending to have heard that for the first time. My acting is great. So that's what we're reading today is Aftermath. We were going to read an early version of Urban, but we couldn't find it in time before we started writing it. You know, it's late. You know, so we got to do this. But yeah, this is Aftermath. This was never ever filmed.
No, sir.
And so yeah, I guess we should get started. Who's gonna do the directions?
How about you do the directions? As I believe my character has more dialogue.
Okay, who's your character?
Darius.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got to explain the whole bank robbery plot.
Yeah, we got to do. Okay, so we got to assign characters. I was going to say you should be Leon because he's black and you sound way white. You sound like.
Yeah, I can take that.
You sound like when black people impersonate white people. So.
And you can be Randall.
Okay. And then there's who else is there? I guess we'll just go by.
Sky's in here, yeah?
Yeah, you can be Sky.
I'll be Sky. I'll be Leon and Sky. I can make out with myself.
And then if we come up with any other characters.
I'll be Darius, you be Cam.
All right, and if we encounter any other characters, we'll just wing it.
Sounds good.
Fade in. Interior. Darius and Cam's house. Noon. We pan across the room to see half-filled coffee cups and half-eaten food on plates as the credit sequence rolls. We hear a voiceover spoken by Randall Kane, 21, as the opening shot and the credits continue. It's an unsightly mess, I realize. But what can you do? Jesus, I know you don't have the AC on. I know it's just my douche chills, but I'm so chilly right now. Who's he talking to? Like, the camera's panning over this fucking...
It's a voiceover, man. It says VO right there.
I know, but I'm saying, obviously, he's talking to someone in the voiceover.
He's talking to the audience, Trevor, because you were a fucking hack writer.
Yeah, I know, but that's why I'm saying. It's like, dude, think.
I mean, what was the first thing I did when I rewrote the feature-length Urban Folktale?
Got rid of all the voiceovers.
Got rid of all the voiceover. Yeah. Even back then.
And it didn't help.
As shitty as I was a writer, I was like... I know better than to fill this shit with voiceover. It's unnecessary and it's lazy writing.
Well, it's not always lazy.
It's not always lazy.
In our case, it was.
It was, yeah. Yes. Okay, so start over with Randall's...
It's an unsightly mess, I realize, but what can you do? We were in a hurry. I'm Randall, and I've got a story to tell you, so listen good. Faggot. The credits finish and we fade to black. Cut to a title card that reads Aftermath in all lowercase letters because I think I'm Trent Reznor. Cut to interior, a sunny bedroom early morning. A woman named Sky Michigan, 21, lies on her bed on top of the covers naked and finishes smoking a cigarette. And I'm sure we would have gotten Janine to get naked for that, right?
Definitely would have gotten her to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, right. Sighing, she looks out the window as if she's longing for a better life or something. Like, her phone admits a lot. Admits?
Admits, yes. a loud ring went into her phone.
The phone, the ring was just like, listen, man, I raped a girl once. In 1990. Bob Saget. Sorry. Just look it up. Gilbert Gottfried, Bob Saget roast. It's fucking hilarious. Her phone omits or emits.
Emits would be the word that you would want there.
God damn it. A loud ring, and she pays no attention to this. Because cigarettes are just awesome. Interior bathroom.
Whatever's outside is awesome.
Yeah, right. Exhale. So she's chilling like a villain on the bed, and then, I guess... Oh, interior bathroom, same. Phone's ringing is annoying. Someone, though. Leon, Michigan, black, 21. I like that I had to specify that he's black, but you don't have to specify the race of anybody else, because of course it's white people.
Yeah. Also, his name is Leon.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a Quentin Tarantino thing.
Of course it is.
I think Paul Calderon's character in Four Rooms was Leon.
Okay. He's black.
Yeah, so therefore that, you know.
That was the point I was making is his name is Leon. We get that he's black.
Oh, okay. Leon Schlesinger's black too, apparently. So Leon's in the shower and hears the phone continuously ring. It annoys him and he yells at his wife.
Scott! Answer the phone for Christ's sake!
That's your black voice, huh?
Well, I was focusing more on the yelling from
afar. For the record, your black voice is worse than your white voice. That's your natural speaking voice. So back to Sky, she flicks him off, putting the cigarette out on a nearby ashtray. She leans over to the edge of the phone, or the bed, or whatever. She leans over the edge of the bed and answers it. What did you say, bed?
The fuck? No, Leon's in the shower. Darius, what the fuck is this about?
Cut two, interior moving car, meantime. We see the aforementioned Darius next to his twin brother. They're twins in this movie.
What?
Well, that's interesting.
Oh, maybe we're going to have Sean and Mark play them.
Clearly. Yeah, because me and you can't be twins unless you just start eating and never stop. and put lifts in your shoes.
Cut you off at the knee.
Yeah, right. We cut to see the aforementioned Darius next to his twin brother Cam in their car. They are driving down the mostly early morning abandoned roads that doesn't make sense of Ascot, California, their home, which also doesn't exist.
And is where we set Urban, so I guess this takes place in the same universe as Urban, the feature?
Didn't we make it Ascot, Pennsylvania in Urban?
No, you wanted to, but I was like, fuck you. Stop making everything about Pennsylvania. We're filming in Florida where there's a bunch of goddamn palm trees. It makes sense for it to be California.
Doesn't make any sense for it to be Florida, though. Why would we shoot that?
Because we were very interested in being anywhere but Florida.
As well we should be. Because if you're there, it sucks.
Okay.
So Sky answers the phone, and it's Darius and Cam, and they want to talk to Leon. And
okay, you ended with their home.
Yeah, I know. Just shut up. And so we're cutting back to their half of the conversation. So Darius is on a cell phone with Sky.
Sweetheart, this is about as deep as I can get. If you want to make some serious cash today, you'll do what I tell you.
Back to Sky. She gets out of bed, walks over to the table of the room, and gets a new cigarette and lights it. While she does all of this, she speaks back to Darius.
Why do I need to make some serious cash? I got plenty of money. In fact, I just sold that painting last night for $3,000. I'm fucking stable. Leon and I just had sex and have been up all night celebrating.
That makes no...
It's like we had sex and we're so excited that we celebrated all night.
Well, it's the just. We just had sex and it's morning. And we've been up all night celebrating that we're going to have sex in the morning.
They're celebrating the sale of the painting,
I know,
clearly,
but just the way it's worded is
yeah,
so
you're
horrible.
Terrible. You're a bad writer.
I'm a bad writer, but you're a bad partner. It's like, yeah, this is fine. Let's go ahead with that.
And have been up all night
you're
celebrating.
You're like, that's fine, just as long as there's no voiceovers.
I don't think I'm... This is Janine.
Why?
This is who she would become eventually. I don't think I'm up to doing much today. Hold on.
All right. She searches for her bathrobe. She eventually finds it under a big pile of clothes. She puts it on.
You know, I want to sleep maybe. Or do some swimming. Leon's got the next 3 days off, and we're just going to sit around naked and fucking whatever.
Look, since you're already up, just
No, that's me. I'm Darius.
Oh, sorry, you're Darius.
You need to read the direction, though.
Back to Darius and Cam.
Look, since you're already up, just do me this little favor and show up at our place, like at 10. Everyone else will be there. We've got a great idea, and we want y'all there.
Mine says neat.
It does say neat. There's weird spaces in mine. Do you have weird spacing in your text?
Yeah.
Like, I have show up at our place, big space, like at 10. And that's kind of fucking me up a bit. Everyone else will be there. We've got a neat idea, and we want y'all there. Fuck, you don't have to participate in what we do. Just hear us out.
Back to Sky, who now has made her way to the kitchen, gets out a bowl, and puts some Lucky Charms in it.
Let me make sure I am crystal clear on this one. All me and Leon got to do is show up, and you'll tell us what's up, and if we don't want to, we can come back here and go to sleep and whatever. No fucking guilt trips from either of you? Fine. When did you say? 10?
Back to them.
That's right. 10. We hope to see you.
He turns off the phone and hands it to Cam. They coming?
Probably.
Cut to...
Can I just point out, probably.
Yeah, P-R-O-B-L-Y. Because I was very much into Mark Twain, I guess. And the whole phonetically spelling stuff. Cut to a title card that reads, earlier that week. Thank you, Quentin. Interior Randall's house, evening. Randall and his girlfriend, Barbara?
I don't remember that either. God. Who is named Barbara in the 90s?
Nobody. People who are dead, that's who. Randall and his girlfriend, Barbara, are sitting and watching TV. We see them do this as Randall's voiceover continues from before. That's me, Randall Kane. That's my girlfriend, Barbara. She's my Barbie doll. That was Sean hitting his head on the mic. And as you can see, we're enjoying ourselves. This is as good as it gets, folks.
The other two, they're fucking.
Yeah.
We're watching TV.
Yeah, and we're enjoying it. And it would be a pretty nice evening if fuckers left us alone. There's a knock at the door. Randall gets up and gets it. Yeah, hang on. He opens the door to reveal Darius and Cam standing behind it. Cue the fuckers. Oh, that's in voiceover, sorry. Cue the fuckers. Randall dialogue. Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Rand. Mind if we come in?
Yeah, get your asses in here. They walk in and sit themselves by Barbara on the couch. What brings you guys out here?
Well, we want to ask you something.
Shoot.
Well, it ain't that simple. We want to ask you this in private.
Looks at Barbara. I guess I'm going to be Barbara.
Be Barbara, man. Do it.
I'm going to do Barbara's Brack.
No, do a lady voice. I want to hear you do a bitch voice.
All right. Fuck you. I'm watching Leno. You guys can go in the dining room and talk.
Wait, hold on. This is the morning. Why is she watching Leno at like 10 o'clock in the morning?
Because apparently she's...
Oh, wait, it's earlier that week.
It says evening.
Okay, never mind.
It is evening.
I was thinking, I forgot about earlier that week.
Yes, correct. Fuck you, I'm watching Leno. Jesus, why? Why would you marry her? Darius looks back at Cam. Or Darius looks back at Randall, who shrugs. Oh, and she's the lady. I guess I gotta listen to her. Interior dining room, night. So it's gone from evening to night. I'm walking...
Because 11 o'clock... When Leno comes on, is evening.
Yeah, right. But I think what actually is supposed to be here is that, you know, it was evening when they started talking, and then they're in the middle.
No, I think that you were just like, it's night.
I'm the Leno thing you're right about, but we're gonna see here. It's evening, and then we cut to them in the dining room at night because it's been taking forever for them to convince Randall. Randall has been in here with Darius and Cam for a while, Sean, as it shows, because he's trying to make sense of what he's hearing. Darius paces around him while Cam sits next to Randall. You guys have finally flipped out. That's all there is to it.
No, we haven't, Randall. It's perfect. We haven't flipped out. In fact, we're actually thinking clearly. Think about how easy it would be. Cam, explain.
Yes, Cam, explain. Think about it. What's the one thing that always gets bank robbers into trouble? I don't know, the fact that they broke the fucking law? The fact that they were seen on camera. The security cameras. Yeah, the smart ones wear masks.
No, the dumb ones wear masks, thinking that no one will be able to make a description. But guess what? Those assholes are in jail. Anyone can describe what you look like with a mask on. I look at Cam, and I say, a big guy, olive skin. He had blonde hair coming out of his mask, big nose. You look like you with a mask on. But not if you don't look like you, mask or no mask.
Okay, so what, you guys want to get some other assholes to do the job for us? No, because they, those other assholes, then they'd want a cut of the money. I'm sorry, I lost my place in the script.
Okay.
No, then they'd want a cut of the money.
Yeah, and we may not make enough to please all of us.
All of us?
Yeah, we're planning on using Sky and Leon, and Chet, and you.
Why me? You have contacts to people that we don't.
Yeah, we need guns and shit.
That's a good line. That's like legitimately funny. All right.
Yeah, we need guns and shit. You know Craig and Mike, and we don't. Plus, you know more about guns than we do. So I got fucked up by then being misspelled. I'm going to start this line again. Yeah, we need guns and shit.
Oh, then, not then.
You know Craig and Mike, and we don't. Plus, you know more about guns than we do. So we were hoping you could set us up?
Why Leon and Sky?
Because I'd like to see them get shot. That doesn't say that.
It doesn't.
They're both your lines.
Oh, why Leon and Sky? Leon, because he's good with strategy.
Hold on a second. In what circumstance would these people who do not have a criminal past together...
Yeah, right.
In what circumstance would be like, he's good with strategy.
He's a great chess player.
You know, when we play Stratego, he always wins. When we play Risk, that motherfucker plays Trinidad and manages to take over the world.
Why Leon and Sky? Well, Leon, because he's good with strategy. Motherfucker could take that bank apart and tell you where they hide the pornos within a week, because that's what they do at banks.
Sky, because she has a nice pussy.
You know you can't get Chet. His wife, what's her name? Rachel, is a fucking cunt rag. Ain't no way she's going to loosen the grip she has on his balls.
Are you sure this isn't the one we wrote for high school?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I honestly am.
Is it because of the cunt rag thing?
Why, because of Chasing Amy?
It's a joke, because you wouldn't write cunt rag for a fucking high school production.
Yes, and the people listening to the podcast know that.
Yes! The people listening to the podcast know that you wouldn't write cunt rag for something you were doing for high school.
It's a different time, Sean. So
back in the 90s,
yeah.
When everyone was just like, hey, man, look at all these cunt rags.
Well, have you ever
By the way, I'm your teacher.
You ever seen a nun call a kid a fucking cunt rag? You know, you can't get Chet. His wife, what's her name? Rachel. Is a fucking cunt rag. Ain't no way she's going to loosen the grip she has on his balls. Cut to title card that reads, a few days prior to the big event. Cut to interior, Chet's house, noon. You be Rachel, I'll be Chet.
Okay.
Chet Walker, 22, the older of the group, is packing a bag and going back and forth from his bed and his closet while his wife Rachel... I thought it was closest.
Closest.
His closest wife, Rachel, because he's a...
He's a Mormon.
He's a Mormon.
She's the one that he really likes.
Yep. While his wife Rachel walks back and forth and talks in his ear. The other thing that's really bad about this script is that, like, we're on page 7, and if this had been made, everyone's talking about something, but no one knows what the fuck. It's like they're planning something,
yeah,
like, but there's
really
no
bad.
Yeah, it's just all over the place. It's like AIDS.
You
in
never
Africa.
Told me about anything about any business trip, Chet.
I know. It came up just today. I gotta get away for a couple of weeks, and that's all there is to it.
Why do I get the feeling you're lying to me?
Why would I lie to you? Even though, probably even though you're a valley girl.
Probably because there's something you're hiding from me.
Something I'm hiding from you. Something I'm hiding. Well, I'd be glad to hear what it is you think I'm hiding from you. Feel free to cut loose, Rach.
You're afraid of me.
That's funny to me. Just because of the way I read it.
You're afraid of me.
You're afraid of me.
I have, like, magical powers. I have acid spit.
You should see when my neck fans out.
She's starting to sound like a kid who's lying about how great their parents are. My dad knows the president.
He met him on the moon because he's an astronaut.
They named a planet after him.
Hold on. You're afraid of me.
I'm afraid of you?
You're afraid of me.
Okay. Does this argument have any solidity, or is it just another attempt on your part to pick at a fictitious ripple in our relationship, thus making an epic story out of an otherwise drab life?
I wouldn't bring this up if I didn't feel it necessary grounds for discussion. And besides, I do not try to make the relationship more epic.
Please, last year you thought I was fucking my secretary.
And I had good reasons.
Good reason? I have good reason to smack you upside the head.
Look, that proves nothing as far as what you have to say goes. Hold on. So she's agreeing with him.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you have ample reason to smack me upside the head, but that doesn't prove anything. Yeah, right.
I know I'm being a cunt, but that's no reason.
Look, that proves nothing as far as what you have to say goes.
Anyway.
Anyway what?
Anyway, I'm afraid of you because...
You're afraid of me because I'm an upstanding woman, and that frightens most men. I assert myself, and that contradicts their implanted traditional views, which is that a woman's place is in the kitchen.
That reminds me, could you make me a sandwich? That's actually good.
We got two good lines two so good far. Lines.
And they're only two pages away from each other.
Man, we're getting better already.
I can't wait to read draft 4.
Fuck you. Look, all I'm saying is that because I asked, are you okay?
That was good. Fuck you. You're afraid of me.
You're afraid of me because I have nunchucks.
And my dad's name is the moon. Before my dad, they just called it the big shiny rock. There's other moons, but he's the moon.
Fuck God you. Damn it. Oh, okay.
So fucking for a minute there, Chet is like, you know, Chet Dice Clay.
Yeah, no, in previous versions, Chet's always been
a shit.
Wet towel piece of shit, like a nebbish. Whiny fucker.
He's been a nebbish. He was always like a...
I can't do that, guy. You don't know. We'll get in trouble.
The teacher might find out.
And now he's like, bitch, why don't you shut your fucking pussy up and tell me what you're really thinking from your brains?
Yeah, right.
Chet's
I don't know why we decided to make him, like, you know, upstanding all of a sudden, but... All right, whatever.
I'll tell you why, because I remember something about this that you don't, I guess.
Okay, well then bring it in. Bring it on.
No, we'll get there.
Okay.
No spoilers. Fuck you. Look, all I'm saying is that because I assert myself, that's grounds for you to cower. And you're afraid that if I know what you're really up to, I would be one to blow things out of proportion and get on your ass about it.
But you're on my ass about this, and it's sounding 10 times less grave. Jesus Christ. This is so writer heavy. But you're on my ass about this, and it's sounding 10 times less grave than whatever story it is that you're inventing. Why must you assume the worst?
Why must you lie to me? By the way, can I just say?
Yeah.
It's clear that at this point you had never been in a relationship.
No. Well, I'd only been in one.
This reads like you were sitting around like, man, it's a good thing I'm not in a relationship.
I'd tear it up.
I bet if I was in a relationship, it'd be like some bitch, and we'd have these arguments, and they go like, fuck you. And she's like, there's no reason for her to even think this. Like,
well, that's the key to it.
You never tell me about a business trip.
That's the key to it. It's like, we need the characters to do this thing for this to work, so regardless of if it sounds good or whatever, we have to make it them be this way, and we didn't like we didn't actually think of like a reason, a good reason for them to be that way, and you know, we didn't cover our tracks. We just were like it.
Yeah, we never focused on character.
No,
except to say like the women are all bitches.
Yeah. Well, there's no in between, because even in Urban Folktale, they're either all bitches or they're all just like
sweet angels.
Angels that we can't get.
Yeah.
So, wow, this is like therapy.
Where yeah, was 15 that? Years too late.
Yeah, right. Say sorry with why must you
why lie? Must you lie to me?
I'm not. I'm fucking. He drops whatever may be in his hands. Really? Couldn't even figure out what the character was holding.
Well, he was moving stuff from his closet to his bag. Oh, yeah,
that's
right,
that's right. He drops whatever may be in his hands and puts his face into them. She may be a bitch, but she can read... What? She may be a bitch, but she can read him like a book.
You're fucking someone?
Okay, so that's what we're supposed to... He gets choked up.
I'm just fucking... You're fucking someone?
No! I need to get away for a little while. I can't tell you anything now. I will let you know where I am and what the hell I'm doing as soon as I know. I will be back. I promise you. A few beats pass.
Is it because I wouldn't go down on you last night?
Chet laughs and then puts Rachel's face in his hands. I love you. And then he fucking makes her suck his dick.
I love you. Yes. Yes. All of this that you started... It's because you wouldn't go down on me last night.
Yeah, right. She started the whole fucking thing.
I'm not getting how this works. You're fucking someone? No. I need to get the fuck away from you. Is this because I wouldn't go down on you last night? I love you.
Honestly, of these characters, I don't know which one is... I mean, on the one hand...
No, the worst character is the writer.
They are, but... It's just weird because it's like, on the one hand, you could sit there and go, oh, well, you know, they're not, you know, right for each other. But no one in this fucking script is right for anybody.
Well, I'm reading this and it's like, you're like, oh, God, how do I end this conversation?
Wrap it up, B.
Just, it ends. It just, yeah. This argument just ends for no reason. He's like, I love you. Let me touch your face and stuff.
How great would that be, though, if you could end all arguments with your girl just by putting her face in your hand and going, I love you. How great would that be? Kill him with kindness. He kisses her on the forehead and then walks off screen. She eyes him for a moment, sighs, and then joins him off screen. You just hear slurping noises. She looks at him off screen, then walks off screen. The camera stays there, and you just hear a zipper and
slurping noises. And then we pan over, and she's just eating Cheerios.
Back to Randall's house. We cut back. Dude, tell me when to fucking.
You're reading a script. When am I supposed to go?
Go like that. Wave at me. I'm not that far away. We cut back to Randall's house. Same situation before. Randall is asking Darian Cam what's up.
Wait. But we did a time jump.
Yeah.
But now we're jumping back.
We did two time jumps.
No. Well, from the time that they were in the kitchen talking, we did like a couple days before the big event.
Yeah.
And that was the Chet and Rachel scene.
Mm-hmm. And now we're
back to Randall's house.
Where Darius and Cam are still talking to him from before about...
But that makes no sense to the viewer. Or was there a thing... No, because there's no thing... I don't know.
What are you trying to say, Sean?
I'm saying that this doesn't make any sense for it to be back into the same situation as before at this point.
Why?
There's not even a title card saying, oh, we're going back to that time. We did a time jump, and we're not time jumping back. We've just forgotten that we time jumped, is what happened here.
Why that's implied, though?
I mean, it's explicit. There's a title card every other time we time jump.
What do you need a title card saying? Now we're going back to the situation as before.
That's what we've established so far. We jumped backwards in time, and we established it with a time card. We jumped forward in time, and we established it with a time card. And now we're going back to the same situation. I don't know.
No, it's the middle of a conversation. They're having a conversation about all this shit. They bring up Chet's wife and Chet, and then we cut in the middle of that conversation to them,
but
and then we cut back.
Isn't Chet going to meet with them to rob the bank? That's why he's packing his bags and can't tell her anything.
Yeah.
So we're jumping to a time when they've already pitched the whole thing to Chet.
Oh, and we still say earlier this week?
And now we're jumping back to when they're still trying to sell Randall on it.
Mm, I don't get it.
See? It doesn't make any sense.
We cut back to the same situation as before, which is also apparently in the future.
They've been here for 2 weeks discussing this in the dining room.
Randall. All right. Now, how about all this not looking like you should? What did you guys mean by that?
Well, that's where our past jobs come in.
Remember when me and Tweedledum were working at that haunted house thing? Tweedledum, go fuck yourself. Yeah, at me as Randall. Yeah. We totally jacked all of their latex facial applications and wigs.
Well, when I just read that, I was reading it in my head like the Nikon of the original Urban short. We totally jacked all of their latex facial applications and wigs.
Yeah, I was in the first iteration and the one we filmed.
This plan is foolproof.
Me and you played Norman and Nikon like they were just like jacked coked up, out. Coked out of their fucking minds, yeah. We totally jacked all their latex facial applications and wigs.
We used those to make my ugly brother even uglier as the Wolfman. And we figured if we could add features to him, like larger foreheads, noses, and shit, we could make us just look like different people.
Hence not looking like ourselves. Is that what you're getting at?
He's a fast learner. Well, can we expect to see you at our place on that fine, sunny Saturday?
A few beats.
Woo! Yay!
Sure. I'll be there. They start to cheer happily.
Yay!
No. They start to cheer happily. Yay! And there was much rejoicing. Again with the coughing.
Shut up.
You shut up.
Read your line.
I did.
Read your other line on the neck.
Oh, okay. Sure, I'll be there. They start to cheer happily. But only to listen.
Yeah. Details.
The other two continue to cheer whilst Randall appears to have that what have I done look. Randall voiceover. And with that, there was no going back. Actually,
really? At that point, there's no go. I said I'd come to their house.
Look, I promised I would.
Once I say I'm going to their house to listen to them, obviously I have to rob a bank.
I mean, we pinky sweared. Interior, Darius and Cam's house that Saturday morning. We pan around the room to see everyone gathered in the living room. Say room again, genius. Paying full attention to Darius and Cam.
In the room.
We're in the room. Oh, hi, Cam.
I'm sure that... That was... I'm sure that in your mind as you wrote this, you were just all about...
that bass.
Deer Hunter.
No, I wouldn't even fucking pretend.
All right, enough bullshit.
Wait, did I say that we pan around the room? Yeah. We pan around the room to see everyone gathered in the living room. Oh, yeah, we did. Darius.
Yeah. All right, enough bullshit. I know me and my brother have been dicking you guys around all week. We've been calling you and whispering sentence fragments in your ears like, get rich quick, and make a lot of money, and all sorts of incoherent phrases with obscure little adjectives.
Jesus, you sound like a fucking English teacher.
Sounds like no fucking English teacher I've ever heard.
How great would it be if our English teacher was like, today we're going to rob a bank.
Bitch, shut the fuck up before I whack you upside the head with my dangling participle.
That actually wasn't a bad line. Brief laughter erupts from the group.
Anyway, all that shit about us being...
Maundering?
Maundering! That's not a word. That is absolutely not a word.
What was I saying? Trying to say maudlin?
I don't know. Let's see here.
Are you going to look that word up?
Yeah.
Maundering, M-A-U-N-D-E-R-I-N-G.
Synonyms. No thesaurus suggestions. There is a translate link, though, so it thinks it might be a different language. And I hate the word anyway.
Yeah.
I know it may sound dumb, but whenever someone in a movie says, anyway, I feel like something wasn't well written. Anyway, all that shit about us being maundering is over. Here's what's going on. I ain't gonna mix words.
Mince. Sorry, it just annoys me.
Hey, you're annoying yourself. You got annoyed just like yesterday at someone saying mix words.
Yeah, mince, not mix.
Yeah. I ain't gonna mix words. I'm gonna put them in the right order.
No word blending today.
I ain't gonna mix words. We are gonna rob a bank. And before another word is said, I understand that there are probably some contradicting views. So let's hear them.
Chet. Well, it's been nice chatting with you guys, but I have a wife who's three... Oh, she's preggers? We didn't even mention that, did we, in the earlier scene?
No, and it's 3 weeks.
Jesus Christ.
You don't even know... Like, you don't even know you're late for your period if you're 3 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
Let's just pretend that's months, but still read it as weeks.
Yeah.
Because everyone needs to know how terrible we are.
Well, it's been nice chatting with you guys, but I have a wife who's 3 weeks pregnant, and if that was important, it fucking would matter. There are plenty of deadbeat dads in the world, and my child doesn't need one, so I'm going to go prepare for the next 9 months. 3 weeks. Or were we trying to say that it was 3 weeks until she was going to have the baby?
No, it says 3 weeks pregnant.
Okay. Chet gets up and starts to walk out. See you guys later.
And there's an apostrophe in guys. Yeah. So he's going to see the later that those guys have.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys, he has a later, so I'm going to see it. See you guys later.
Wait a minute, Chet. Hear us out.
No. Chet walks outside and Darius turns to Randall.
Randall, go get him.
Like Randall's a fucking dog. Randall gets up and follows Chet outside. Oh, that's right, because Randall and Chet are like tight in this, aren't they?
Yes.
They're like buddies. They go way back. To quote Tracy Morgan, we go way back like spinal cords and car seats. Exterior, Darius and Cam's house, same. Chet is well on his way out. On his way to the car, parked somewhere off screen. Randall runs out and stops him. And both of these characters are me.
Do you want me to take one up for a while?
Yeah, do Chet.
Okay.
Chet, wait up!
Fuck you, Randall. I'm leaving.
Look, Chet, this is going to be cool, all right? I am the only one other than Darius and Cam that knows about this thing. They've been planning this out for a while. I was let in on it about 3 weeks ago. What is my obsession with the 3 week period?
So you knew about this? From the time that I banged up my wife? Knocked up my wife? Banged my... From the last time that I had sex?
Say, so you knew about this again.
So you knew about this?
Well, yeah.
You knew about this and you didn't tell me?
Oh my god, I just quoted Teen Wolf in here. When he fucking first turns into the wolf, he literally says, wait a minute, Dad, so you knew about this? You knew about this and you didn't tell me? What the hell am I gonna do? Sorry.
Clearly you're gonna turn into a wolf and play basketball.
Which would have been a better movie. By far.
Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, I know.
We should have made a movie about a basketball-playing wolf. Who ever heard of that?
Nobody.
You knew about this and you didn't tell me? You made me lie to my wife and tell her that I was going away and that it wasn't her fault?
Come on, Chet. I didn't make you do all
what
that.
What kind of logic jump is this? Because you didn't tell me, I suddenly am lying to my wife?
Yeah, you were in the dark before, dude. It's not like I suddenly made you, like...
And tell her that I was going away and that it wasn't her fault? Is he implying that it's her fault that they want to rob a bank?
Well, even weirder is the fact that, like, they live all in the same town. They all live in Ascot. And yet... To go over to this plan, he starts packing up and moves out of the house.
I have to go on a business trip down the road.
To Darius and Cam's house. So what does he do? I guess he gets like a hotel or something? I don't know. We didn't really think this through, folks. Come on, Chet. I didn't make you do all that.
Well, what was I supposed to do, you asshole? Was I just supposed to tell her that my friends wanted me to do something, but I had no clue what it was? Christ. You knew I wouldn't approve of this. You knew, and yet you either didn't care or it slipped your stupid mind.
Chet stops. He can't say much else, thank goodness. Interior Darius and Cam's house, meanwhile, same sitch as before.
I love that you have to specify meanwhile and same right, situation right. as before.
Yeah. So am I Cam?
You're Cam.
Okay. All right, so Leon, you will spend the next two days looking over the blueprints that we've obtained. How did they get blueprints?
They obtained them,
they
Trevor.
They obtained them, that's true.
It says right there. God, read the script.
Yeah. All right, so Leon, you will spend the next 2 days looking over the blueprints we've obtained. Sky chimes in.
How did you obtain them?
None of your business, cuntwad.
Read it as it is written.
None of your business. Sky has been shut up.
It's really?
In the direction.
Really? None of your business. Oh, well, he makes a good point.
Yeah. Salient point, my friend.
I'll just sit down.
So
is this corner okay to sit in?
Is that all right?
I'll face into the corner. Is that okay?
Leon.
All right. And when will I get the blueprints?
Darius.
Oh, I'm Darius also. Yeah. Hold on. All right. And when will I get the blueprint?
He's black, not a Sambo. You fucking.
I was actually trying to be Jimmy. All right. And when will I get the blueprints? No, that's terrible. I used to do a decent Jimmy. All right. And when will I get the blueprints? I just do all my black voices. All right, brother. And when will I get those blueprints? So racist. I'm sorry.
That's racist.
I'm sorry, world.
All right, honky.
All right. When will I get the blueprints, you jive turkey? We'll give them to you today before you leave. See me after class. Cool. And how long are you giving me to get this shit done? Can you do 2 days? Sure. Cool. All right, I have two questions.
Fire away, even though I told you to shut up like fucking...
One, how the hell do we plan to do this without being seen? And two, what are we going to use for weapons, if any?
Darius looks to his brother.
I got one, you got two.
Roger.
First of all, you will not be going in at all, Sky. But we, me, Cam, Randall, Leon, and Chet... possibly, will be going in disguise. After working at a year-round haunted house, we stole some of their stuff, including a facial applications and wigs. Mine, the pages are separated differently, yeah. So it's Darius, and then it just goes
Darius
down.
Darius continued.
Yeah. We stole some of their stuff, including facial applications and wigs. Using these, plus some kind of semi-revealing facial wear, like the usual bank robber mask, we will look like completely different people on the security camera. The nice thing about them is that while they take like an hour to be applied, it takes 2 seconds to tear them off. So all we have to do is leave as fast as possible and tear them off and lose the big trench coats that we will be wearing. Question two.
Cam, what was question two again?
Weapons.
Oh, yeah. Well, the weapons aren't here, but they have been taken care of. That's why we let Randall in on all this shit first, mainly because of his connections.
His connections?
Cut to exterior, the back of a garage day. We see Darius and Cam standing outside looking rather impatient. Randall eventually shows up out of the garage and walks up to them. Yeah, they're here. The boss is gone.
All right. Well, let's meet these legendary bitches.
Yeah. Randall turns his head and calls to them. Hey, guys, get your asses out here. We eventually see the aforementioned Craig and Mike show up. Randall continued. Mike, Craig, meet Darius and Cam. I'll be Mike, you be Craig.
How can we be of service to you guys today?
Well, our mutual crony here doesn't make any sense. Well, do you not know what a crony is?
I was a friend.
It's like an underling, like a minion.
I was a friend.
Well, our mutual crony here, Randall, says that you guys have quite an assorted marshalling of potent weaponry.
What? Says you got a lot of fucking guns. Oh, I'm Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought I was Craig. Oh, I guess I'm not Craig. So Cam says, yeah, he says you got a lot of fucking guns. Say it louder, jackass. Jesus. Well, yes, we do at that. We got guns, knives, grenades, real lethal stuff.
Wait a minute. You guys aren't from the NRA, are you? No.
They're legit, Randall. They're legit, Craig. Don't bust a nut.
So I guess we didn't know what the NRA was about.
I guess not, yeah.
You guys aren't from the NRA, are you? We are. We're here to give you an award for being batshit insane gun enthusiasts.
I mean, it's like, I don't know if it's like the character's this way or we're just this dumb, but I think someone is assuming that it's that old thing of, if you're a cop, you have to tell me.
Well, you guys aren't from the NRA, are you? Like, the NRA...
Damn it, you got us!
Like, the NRA are the people that make sure that people don't have guns?
Yeah. So they're coming to take their guns, I think, was the implication.
Yeah. They're legit, Craig. Don't bust a nut, Randall says.
Yeah, they're legit, Craig. Don't bust a nut. Craig calms down for a little while. Then he suddenly grabs Darius by the shirt and shoves him up against a wall. The others try to stop him, but to no avail.
You wearing a wire, motherfucker? Is that what this is about? You here to take me in, cocksucker?
Darius.
Oh, yeah. I ain't got no fucking wire. What did you say, cheese dick? I said no wire. Oh.
He lets him go. Randall. Jesus, Craig. Take a spaz. These are my friends. I wouldn't rat on you.
God damn.
Craig. What the hell is a cheese dick?
Damned if I know. I heard him talking about it on that Oprah show.
Or that Midnight Madness show. That's where he got it from.
I made up the last part. It's just damned if I know.
Yeah.
They all laugh.
They all laugh, Randall. So what do you guys think? You can help my boys out here? Mike? Mike looks Darius and Cam over.
You're Mike, motherfucker.
I was looking them over.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we can cut them some cake. Mike laughs like Christopher Lambert. Mortal Battle continues.
I can't believe that's in the directions. Mike laughs like Christopher Lambert.
Cut two. Cut two, interior Darius and Cam's... It should be cut back to, but... Interior Darius and Cam's house, same. Same as before. Same, 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 same. Sky and Leon are still listening to Cam tell how they got the guns, and Randall and Shed are still outside. Yep, so we got guns. Big-ass guns, actually.
Weapons.
Oh, yep, so we got weapons. Big-ass guns, actually.
That boy Craig sounds like a character.
In a really bad script.
Yeah, but he proved to be pretty cool once he was convinced we were one of them. I mean, he was just paranoid. He gave us a pretty cool deal, actually.
This guy.
Cool. So, what's my part in all of this? Glad you asked that.
Cut to exterior alleyway, day, black and white, grainy film style. We see Sky in the alleyway, sitting in her car, reading a book with the trunk opened only with the trunk opened with only a crack of air. Darius, why don't you just say with the trunk opened a crack? Because I'm a bad writer.
Mm-hmm.
Darius continues to explain in a voiceover.
You will be sitting in your car and not doing fucking shit. You'll be sitting in your car reading a book innocently, as people do. Just sitting in their cars reading books. Yep. I'm going to start over.
You sit there, you're driving around, you got the book on the passenger, and you're like, maybe just a few chapters while I'm on my way to work.
But I'll just pull over in front of this bank.
Yeah.
You will be sitting in your car and not doing fucking shit. You will be in the alleyway behind the bank with the trunk of your car open. We will show up and throw the money, the guns, the facial applications, the wigs, and our trench coats all in the trunk of your car, and we'll shut the trunk.
Jesus. We see...
And we'll shut the trunk. Do you need to say that? God.
We see the trunk slam shut. We then see Sky looking directly forward and starting her car calmly and driving off.
You will not look back. When you hear us slam the trunk shut, you will calmly start your car and drive off, obeying the speed limit. Make sure to just take off.
Making sure
just to take off slowly. We want it to appear as though you have nothing to do with the robbery. That just took place. There's a big space there, sorry.
We want it to appear as though you have nothing to do with the robbery that just took place. You're going to appear as though you just happen to be driving through that alley at that time.
Reading a book.
Because so many people drive through alleys.
Yep. Cut to exterior outlet of the alleyway onto the main road. Same. We see Skye's car calmly driving out of the alleyway and onto the main road. She takes off calmly. Very voiceover continued.
Can we say calmly some more time?
Yeah, right.
So you do that and meet back at the rendezvous point, which is yet to be determined.
Back to Darius and Cam's house.
Get it?
Skye.
Oh, that can be done. Good.
Just then, Randall and Chet walk in. Randall. Hey.
Hey, is he in?
Yep, I explained everything. Chet. I can't believe I'm doing this. Oh, Christ. Don't oh Christ me. Well, I thought you were in. I am in. You guys want me in, then I'm in. Look, Chet, I told you, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to. Chet sits down, then he stands up again and starts pacing. No, I can do this. I want to help all of you, but I'm not going to help you on further robberies, okay? Understood? Yeah, it's cool, Chet. Look, you're scared, obviously. Maybe you shouldn't do this. No, I'm fine. I just need to push the fear out. I'm reading this. God damn it. No, I'm fine. I just need to push the fear out like some kind of melodramatic faggot. Jesus. Do what you gotta do. Thanks. Chet screams. As the scream echoes, we zoom down his thrat.
It says throat.
I know, but it may as well say thrat. Cut to a series of title cards.
Oh, here we go.
Why?
The late 90s Trevor love fest of title cards.
Yeah, I do like some title cards. As the echo of Chet's voice deteriorates, we hear the sounds of the robbery taking place. First title card, kill off any hope of this being a good script. Over this, we hear sound effects of glass breaking and the hurried voices of our heroes. Darius.
Oh, fuck! That son of a bitch shot Chet!
Randall. Who did? Who fucking... Chet!
Grab the money! We gotta get the fuck out of here!
That was Cam.
Oh, sorry.
Grab the money! We gotta get the fuck out of here! Sound effects, gunshot, title card. Slice it with a knife.
The voice... Oh, fuck! He's bleeding badly! He's not going to make it!
Randall, don't say that!
Cam, get over here! Get that latex and wig off of him!
Right. Dare, help me out with this shit. Third title card, sound effects, gunshot. The price you pay for greed. The voices continue. Darius.
Give me the wig! Good. Randall, get over here and help me with this shit.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
God isn't going to help us now, Randall. We're on our own. Now, get the fuck over here.
Fourth title card, sound effects, gunshot. May cost a beloved life. The voices say their last words, which is silly to say. Chet, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Please, no, I'm sorry.
Chet.
You just hear him gurgling.
I'm going to be okay.
Say the goddamn words.
Randall, no time for that. We got to get to the car.
Sound effects of them dragging Chet off. We hear a gunshot and the screen fades to a photo negative. Okay, I guess. Okay, I get it. Eventually, the words deteriorate. Cut to exterior alleyway behind the bank. Day. We see a ground shot of the back of Skye's car. From what we can see, we can only see the other's feet. Asshole that I am.
Were you just typing this with your forehead?
They are dragging Chet out. Chet is the only one we can see because he's completely limp. I don't know what that means.
It means that...
Meaning it's on the ground. The camera's on the ground and you see their feet and they're picking him up and he's like on the ground and you can just see...
Yes, thank you for interrupting my penis joke. It wasn't going to be good.
Okay. While Darius takes everything and puts it in the trunk.
Give me your coats, wigs, money, everything. Randall and Leon, you hold on to Chet. Don't get any blood on your clothes.
Skye hears this.
What the fuck happened?
Be quiet, or it's you.
Be quiet, Skye. Just do your job.
Some fucking security guard shot Chet.
Bitch, don't tell her that shit. Skye, get going.
By now, everything has been dumped into the trunk. Cam slams it shut and then turns his attention back to Chet.
But what about Chet? He's our problem. Get going. But go!
Sky starts crying, but finds it in her to start the car, and she takes off semi-slowly. However, with emotions going through her that strongly, she can't help but drive sort of fast, even though she's whatever.
Let's get this ragdoll out of here. It's fucking... God.
I know.
So, I mean, so much sympathy, so much caring.
Yeah.
Like, let's get this ragdoll out of here. We just got like $800 from this bank. Totally worth this bitch's life.
Yeah, because that's right. Because I remember in the story, in their actual attempt, their plot, to their plan was to avoid the safe. And they're like, you know, don't fuck with the safe. Just get the money from the teller. And it's like, well, there's no fucking money up there.
It's like, yeah, there's not a lot of money.
There's nothing. You might do well with some traveler's checks or something, but you know.
Now the original ending of Original Urban, I think, would be hilarious at this point. If Sky just drives off and goes, oh my god,
we're rich.
We're rich. Okay,
$800.
It would be more than $800. It'd be a few grand, but yeah. Not. I mean, once you split it up with somebody, yeah. I mean, you just got to kill everybody. Just start plugging all your friends so that you can maybe buy a car.
They all pick Chet up and run.
No, hold on. Oh yeah, that is where we were. I thought I had another line. Let's get this ragdoll out of here.
They all pick Chet up and run off screen to their cars.
He's fading fast.
Thank you, Leon. The guys make it off screen, fade to black. Randall voiceover. I will never forgive myself for this. By the way, that goes for me too. I will never forgive myself for this. I couldn't say that enough times. It'll always be there on my back. I was responsible for Chet. It's my fault he's dead.
Because he's not a grown-ass man or anything.
No.
I shouldn't have brought a 6-year-old to a bank robbery.
Cut to interior Randall's house living room day. We see Randall looking teary-eyed and gazing off into space, much like how fucking Sky did earlier. He's naked up on top of his covers.
Just smoking and looking out the window. And Sky's standing out there.
Painting.
Pretending to be a bird up in a branch. Tweet, 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 tweet. No one got through it.
And he's just like, man, this is some great acid. Cut to him looking out. The random voiceover continued. I won't tell you what happened to us after that. Why would you? It's only a movie. I won't tell you what happened to us after that. We got away with it. You just said what happened, dumbass. We got away with it, some might say. Just because the police never caught us doesn't mean that we got away with it in my eyes. Barbara walks up to him and puts her hand on his shoulder. She has been crying as well.
This may not be the best time, but if you want to know, I have some bad news.
What is it?
I don't think I should tell you. You may not be ready for
it. Damn it, Barbara, just tell me.
All right. Chet's alive. okay, read your line again.
Damn it, Barbara, just tell me.
All right. Sky just called. It was on the news. Rachel found out last night.
Randall knows what's going to come up. He rubs his face. And? Barbara starts to tear up and choke on her words.
The police found her dead this morning. She hung herself, killing her and the baby.
Randall starts to silently cry uncontrollably. How do you do that? That's what Sean's doing it right now, by the way. That's why you can't hear it. But he's crying because he's like, we were gonna shoot this.
Oh, man.
All right, Bob.
I like to think that one of our friends would have been like, you know, this isn't good, guys, right?
We didn't know.
I feel like one of our friends should have, like, if it came to the point where we were going to
actually film it,
shoot it, yeah, would have gone, can you burn this and write something different and I can film that?
Can we just re-edit it? Like, we'll film it, but then we re-edit it so that we put all the words in a different order?
Yeah. Like, so they make sense?
Yeah, right. Barbara starts to tear up and choke on her words. Barbara! Barbara!
Bring me some hot cocoa in my bone cup, Barbara. Sorry, it's from...
Okay, you're rereading stuff, too. We did that whole bone cup thing already.
No, we didn't. It's from the Twilight Zone. Ever since I fucking saw that episode, it's the way Barbara is spelled, B-A-R-B-A-R-A. It's not Barbara, it's Barbara. And the way that old man said it, he just always went, Barbara! Sorry, go ahead, say Barbara's line. Oh, wait, no, we did that already.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
He starts to cry, dissolve two interior Darius and Cam's house today. We see everyone listening with long faces. People listen with ears. They're all horses. Sean is doing his best Rick Ocasek face. All right, stop it. You're freaking me out. Randall voiceover.
No, you didn't finish the line.
Oh, sorry. We see everyone listening with long faces to Darius, who is speaking. Randall, voiceover. The police found Chet's body in the river where we dumped it, but nothing connected us to the robbery. When Rachel found out, well, you know. As for us, we decided to go our separate ways and agreed never to make contact again. Except on the anniversary of this day.
The most incriminating anniversary. Right.
Oh, yeah, anniversary of this fucking one thing. Oh, how convenient. All the people that did the robbery are in one convenient location.
None of us were ever questioned in connection with our friend being found dead and dumped in a river. He was part of a group of robbers, and the police never were like, hey, here's this dead robber in the river. Should we talk to any of his friends?
No, because they've all moved away. We'll never find them. Well, I called all the people in the...
They can't have done it. They moved, like, the week after the robbery.
I mean, you can't plan a robbery and a move.
I mean, you gotta call the U-Haul. You gotta get the guns.
You gotta put a deposit down on an apartment. Jesus. Except on the anniversary of this day, dissolve to a close-up shot of a candle being lit. To light a candle wherever we are, to remember Chet and Rachel and their unborn child. I'm sorry, Chet.
And Rachel. And little Bubble Bumps.
Bubble Bumps. That
was going to be its name. Barbara was...
Barbara.
She was dead set on... I just couldn't think of a funny baby name. So I said Bubble Bumps.
That's funny. Dissolve 2, exterior Asgard graveyard, noon. It is a gray day.
It should be a fucking great day.
How great would that be?
It should be so sunshiny. And like, there should be like a
parade in the background.
An all black gospel choir just like, I love Jesus. I love the Lord.
There's a little girl eating an ice cream cone and she's happier than a pig in shit.
By the way, we have those churches here. Totally off topic. Yeah. I don't want to get away from the thing too much, but Jessica and I parked up in front of a church one day. We went to a little restaurant down the way, and when we went back to the car, we heard coming from the church, like, hold on, Jada! Yeah, Dad! And, like, it just sounded so fun. I really wanted to go in there.
Yeah.
I haven't wanted to set foot in a church in a long, long time, but I was like, damn, I kind of want to go in there and dance with all the black people.
Yeah. As with everything else in life, black people just make shit look cool.
And honestly, the only reason I didn't go in was that I really felt like if I go in there, I'm just going to be like that guy that's like, I can't dance like right. this. I can't. I don't know the words to your gospel music's people. But some nice old lady invited us in. Anyway, it's a gray day.
It is a gray day, yes. And we see Randall at Chet and Rachel's graves. Get it? Randall Graves. Clerks. Randall voiceover continued. We all went our separate ways. Sky and Leon moved to Sarasota. They tell me it's nice and that I should come visit and swim in their pool.
They tell me that the one day a year we're allowed to speak. Yeah, right.
Darius and Cam went to Pennsylvania in some little out of the way town called Wayne, which is where I grew up. They say they don't hate it. Me, I couldn't go very far. Barbara and I moved to a town about 10 miles north of here called Hayden. The place is not very well kept, but it's secluded. And I'm doing well. I have a restaurant that I'm opening there shortly. I hope that Chet forgives me. I didn't want to move too far away so that I could visit him here at my convenience. I can't say much on the subject, just that I'm so sorry it happened, and if we do go on to someplace else when we die, maybe a heaven, if you will, where everything is safe and warm, then I hope that's where Chet is, because that's what he deserves. That and my sustaining apology, which is spelled wrong. Apulpgy.
Apulpgy.
Fade to black, credits roll, the end.
So, here's something that I did not remember. The whole time we've been reading this and talking about reassigning characters and shit,
yeah,
we forgot to mention that Randall is in both.
Yeah, he is the connection.
I forgot that this actually is like
continuity,
a prequel to
Urban.
The Urban screenplay, which is completely unconnected,
yeah,
except that Randall is a character in it,
yeah,
that owns a restaurant in Hayden, California.
Yeah, that's right. And in Urban, we do mention briefly the events in Aftermath, because at one point, Norman asks him, because the setup in Urban Folktale is that Norman and Nikon work at Randall's Bar and Grill, and on the roof of the Bar and Grill is a little, tiny little, like, you know, two-bedroom little shack that is basically held together with duct tape and shit like that. And the deal is with them is that, you know,
they like, wash the dishes.
Yeah, they
and want, they get to live in the...
Yeah.
In the hovel upstairs.
Yeah, they get to live upstairs rent-free in exchange for working at the restaurant. And, I mean, as unfamiliar with the real world as we were when we wrote that, even then we were just like, there's no fucking way anybody would ever do that ever. So
here's the other thing.
Hold on. So Norman says to Randall, why are you being so cool to us? And Randall says, you know, I've been through some real shit, and there's bad people out there, and there's good people, and blah, blah, blah.
And you know what he should have said is, why don't you little bitches stop crying about shit?
Yeah.
Oh, your girlfriend cheated on you? Fucking dump the bitch and move on. Oh,
my best friend and his wife and their unborn child are dead because I'm a cocksucker.
Yeah, like, I've seen some fucking shit.
Yeah.
Y'all need to stop crying like little bitches.
Yeah.
I robbed a bank and I had to move to a shittier town.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Remember, they wanted to talk to Randall in private, away from Barbara.
Barbara.
So Barbara was not in on the plan.
Yeah.
So,
but then later on, she is.
Well, so here's what happens. Randall comes home and goes, hey, honey, Chet's dead. We have to move.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's like, she knows everything about it, too.
She doesn't. She just said, oh, the police found out, meaning that Chet died.
How are we on time with the podcast right now? Because there is something else that we need to talk about briefly before we wrap this up.
It's 1 hour and 12 minutes so far.
Oh, great. We can end any time now. So here's what we should point out. Probably, I mean, it's not a great idea, but probably the best thing from this whole thing is what the original impetus for the entire bank robbery script, blah, 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 is, and the story
God,
of it.
Please
yes,
don't.
Yes, you have to tell that story.
You tell the story, motherfucker.
No, because it wasn't my idea.
Okay, so it was my idea. I had an idea to rob a bank.
All right.
All right,
I'll start. I'll start and you pick up, because it was...
I wanted to buy a DeLorean.
Sean had his eyes on a DeLorean that... was it the one over by the Van Wezel that I got trapped in?
No, it was a different one. It was over by... On Tamiami Trail on US 41.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it was for sale for $10,000. I mean, that's a great deal,
actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Claudette. Sean's cat just walked in. She's adorable. But Sean was like, "Listen, there's no way in fucking hell I'm ever gonna." And you were right. there's no way in hell I'm ever going to find a deal like that on a DeLorean again, ever.
So
we need to come up with 10 grand in like 3 weeks.
Like right now.
Yeah. So,
let's do it.
So, and let's face it, guys. The only way that we can come up with money that quickly is if we do something illegal.
We need to hire Dick Smith.
So you said, and at the time we were working for Greg Disguise. Well, not for him, but we were doing the Haunted House.
I think it was after the Haunted House.
It must have been.
I don't think we were actively involved in that shit.
Well, no, because junior year was when we started writing all this shit. And
sophomore year was the Haunted House.
No, it wasn't.
It was 95.
It was junior year.
No.
I promise you it was.
Ooh. While working at the Haunted House, we all got dressed up as vampires and went to see Vampire in Brooklyn.
We did that in sophomore year, I think.
We went from the Haunted House and walked over to Vampire in Brooklyn while working at the Haunted House.
Which actually was
therefore
surprisingly good.
Therefore, Haunted House was during sophomore year.
I mean, I disagree, but it doesn't really matter.
Well, it doesn't. You don't need to disagree because I can look up the fucking exact date that that happened.
Yes, you certainly can.
I can look up Vampire in Brooklyn. You'll see that it came out sometime in October of 1995, I'm sure.
Yes. So, anyway, we had been working at the Haunted House, and this guy named Greg ran a company at the time called Disguises Unlimited. And
October 27th, 1995.
Good for you.
You want to do the math? We were sophomores then.
I'm not arguing that when Vampire in Brooklyn came out. I'm arguing that we did the Haunted House in junior year.
Trevor.
Sean.
We were working at the Haunted House when we saw Vampire in Brooklyn at the theater because we all had Greg do our makeup and shit as vampires before we went over to see the movie.
I mean,
we all sat in the chair.
There are pictures of me from the Haunted House era, and I have this exact same haircut. And I didn't have that haircut when I didn't even have long hair in sophomore year.
Trevor, do you not remember that we went from...
No, actually. What I remember is that I think you're thinking of Blade.
No.
Because I don't remember
we did our own makeup for Blade. Which was a couple years later. But yeah. Greg did our makeup.
But the point is...
For this. I remember we went there. I remember there was a scene in the beginning where a boat crashes through a wall. And I went...
That's my boat. That movie actually was really good. Surprisingly. It was underrated, I think.
Squishy.
Yeah. And evil is good when he's the preacher.
Oh yeah.
Ass is good. And if you get some
piece of evil ass. Oh Lord. So yeah, we a bunch of us Haunted House people went from the Haunted House because remember we saw that movie at Golfgate.
Yeah.
And Golfgate closed like 20 minutes after the Haunted House ended.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But anyway, the point that I've been trying to get to is that the reason why the idea for the bank robbery to get the 10 grand for the DeLorean came up is because we had just been doing all this stuff with Greg and facial applications and wigs, and you put two and two together and were like, you know, if you can change your physical appearance with latex and everything like that, how would a little shitty security camera, because back then they were.
And witnesses.
Yeah, and witnesses and all that stuff. I mean, no one would go into a bank without you know, a balaclava or hoods or something to cover their face. But, you know.
What if you look different underneath? What if you look
totally different underneath? No one, you know, even if they got a vague description, it would be a totally wrong description.
Or even to take that a step further would be to set something up where one of your masks accidentally gets pulled off.
Right.
And you pull it back on in a panic, but you look nothing like you.
Right. And it was kind of like a layers of... And that was the thing is that you said... you tried to convince me of doing this. And at one point I just said, you know, that sounds like, you know, it doesn't sound like something I'd want to do. It sounds like a movie I'd want to watch. And then we got to like, you know, okay, you're like,
oh, we'll write that. Why don't we make a movie about it? And then we'll have way more than $10,000.
We can get 5 DeLoreans.
We'll make billions of dollars. We thought we were just going to like drop out of high school and be the next Quentin Tarantino's. We were so fucking deluded.
Yep.
We were sad, sad people.
I mean, I don't know about that. I was happier then.
I mean, we were happy. We were happy, but when you think about
ignorance is bliss.
The doom of our dreams, it's pretty sad to think back on.
Yeah.
Of course, now I'm, you know, having given up on those dreams long since, I'm now closer to those dreams than ever.
Ironically, yeah. Yeah. I've still got a ways to go on achieving any kind of an actual dream because first of all, I'm in debt with those fucking speeding tickets that I got and everything. So, I don't know. I guess we can wrap this up. I think the next one we should do is the original urban folktale.
Yeah, you know, it occurs to me, this is actually like the least good incarnation of this. I think it was the latest written, but from the very beginning, I remembered, you know, Sky or Leon answering the phone.
Yeah.
And
the one we filmed?
Yeah, the original one was better because the hand comes down, grabs the phone.
Yeah.
Hi. Sky and Leon can't come to the phone right now because they're fucking sleeping.
Yeah.
Or no, because they're trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Which is funnier than, huh? What? No, Leon's in the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. I'll fuck him. We had sex and celebrated all night.
I don't think she was ever a painter in any other iteration of the script, though.
I just sold that painting for $3,000.
Must be a fucking great painting.
Yeah, like, that's all. That's all that we ever, like, yeah, she's a painter.
Yeah, because, you know, why not? We need to have her do something.
I don't think anybody has a job.
As a painter?
As anything. Nobody in that script has a job.
Well, no, they do. She says...
Chet has a job because he's going on a business trip.
But she says Leon has the next few days off and we're going to just sit around fucking doing and whatever.
Fucking ... Whatever.
Yeah. But
we're going to like fuck the blender. We're going to fuck some random animals. Yep. Fuck the couch.
It's going to fuck things.
We're just going to fuck whatever.
But yeah, he does. It does get mentioned that Leon has a job.
But Darius, no job. No. Cam, no job.
Randall probably has a job, but we don't ever.
Nope.
No mention of it.
See, the lives of these people and the motivations of these people don't matter. I mean, look at Darius and Cam. Darius and Cam just are these weird figures that show up and go, hey, you want to make a lot of money robbing a bank? No, but like, we don't ever explore, like, why would these people ever listen to them? Who the fuck has like a group of friends that they can just gather and go, hey guys, we thought about robbing a bank. Who's in?
And even if you were still going to go with that concept, you'd have to spend a good amount of time setting up that relationship. You'd need to see like that these people have been, you know, in each other's corners for years and years and years. They have some kind of connection. Something happened that, you know, they, you know, like there's an oath or something. Like it would have to be really like,
or, you know, just like a Stephen King-like childhood bond connection, a Stand By Me thing or the kids in It.
Yeah, they would have to absolutely be just like, because, yeah, like you say, there's no fucking reason.
There's no fucking reason that anyone would take Darius and Cam seriously if they were like, hey guys, we're going to throw a birthday party.
I like that
let alone we're going to rob a bank.
And Randall is involved because he knows guys with guns.
Yeah. Hey, I know some rednecks.
Like, that's a character trait.
And I really think that Darius and Cam just woke up that morning and started putting the plan together.
It really does, yeah. I mean, we do try to, like, establish that they did have this thing, you know, planned or something.
But they just thought
they have blueprints.
I mean, they were like, hey, Randall knows rednecks. Let's call him.
Yeah. And I also love that the rednecks are like, you know, their way of sussing out if this is a fucking NRA sting is to
is to throw
one of them. There's three of them to throw one of them up against the wall and just yell at him to see if he's wearing a wire. Not even check him for a wire.
Oh, he said he has no wire. Well, in that case,
I guess that checks out.
All right, he checks out, man.
Yeah,
I vetted him.
All righty. So I think that's it for this humble episode of Table Reads with me and the McBee. And Sean is not saying anything. He's looking at me balefully.
Balefully?
Yes, you're about to go. You're about to yell at me and ask if you tore my fucking lights down. Would you? Christian Bale.
Oh, okay.
You got something to say to this prick?
I thought you were going to make a reference to Rachel.
Why?
Why are you lying to me?
You're afraid of me.
You're afraid of me.
You're afraid of me. Fuck you.
Because my vagina has teeth. Okay, all so right. This podcast's over. Stop listening to it.
Oh, goodbye. You know what? Let's
It's not over. It's not over. Don't go anywhere.
So let's promote ourselves.
Oh, we have another show. It's called Touche El Douche. It's on Internet Radio Network.
IRNBroadcast.com.
IRNBroadcast.com on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 at night.
That's
not
right.
In the morning. If you tune in the morning, it's going to be some other show. It's probably not as good as ours. It's probably way better than ours.
You know who has a show on IRN? The great Bob Levy.
Ooh!
Yes, Mr. Reverend Bob Levy.
From the guy from when the Levy Breaks. I don't know who Bob Levy is.
Oh, you should. He's a very good comedian. A lot of people like.
I was just pretending to know things.
Oh, well, yeah. The Reverend Bob Levy from the Howard Stern Show and from Opie and Anthony and from any time you've ever been to a comedy club and enjoyed yourself. It's always
been
him.
He's Bobby Collins?
Yes.
And Kevin Pollak?
Yes.
And Jeff Dunham?
And Howie Mandel.
And Howie Mandel. And George Carlin?
And no, he's not George Carlin. I can't even front like that. So yeah, we do videos. Check out our videos on youtube.com/Ferris Wheelhouse. We're on Twitter at the Ferris House. We're on Facebook. We're on Vimeo. We are on.
And we're also, I mean, you just look around, you'll find us.
Mm-hmm. Patreon, if you want to make donations or just check out our websites, ferriswheelhouse.net and toucheeldouche.net.
It's .com.
What's that from again?
Homestar Runner.
Yay!
Homestar10.net. Homestar, it's .com. Oh, sorry. Homestar10.net.
It's .com. I think of Homestar Runner every time somebody says should of.
Yeah.
You see that show last night?
Should have watched it.
Should have watched it. Is that still a thing, Homestar Runner?
I think it's a thing again. They stopped doing it for years, and I think they recently restarted.
Hmm. Good.
Do you remember why I... You know what? Why don't we finish this conversation off the air?
Okay.
Okay, bye, guys.
See you next time we do one of these things.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Homestar Runner for a while. So if you want to listen to that podcast, you can, because we're not recording it. Bye.
Oh, but we should. You know why? Because then we'd have a no-show for the TED show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But we're not going to do that. No.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
This podcast was created by Sean McBee and produced by Ferris Wheelhouse.
Fuck.